Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, our God. We exalt you. You are worthy of our praise, Father. Thank you for your mighty presence that is manifest amongst us. Thank you, Lord, for your holy word. You said that wherever two or three of us are gathered together, you are right there in our midst, and you will be I am. So be I am this morning. Be I am in this service. Let your presence move freely. Do that which only you are able to do. Lord, incline our hearts. Help us, God, incline our hearts to your word. Lord, cause the eyes of our understanding to be open today. Release upon us a fresh outpouring from your heaven. Let the dew of heaven rest upon every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let that anointing put an unction upon this ministry of this word today. Lord, think through my mind. Speak through my vocal cords. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Let there be no limit to your word. Break down obstacles and inhibitions. God, let there be accelerated miracles, accelerated progress in every life. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Glory to God. Come on, let's put our hands together. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. Amen and amen. Our God deserves our glory. I said our God deserves our glory. He is so worthy. He's so awesome. Hallelujah. Is it good to you? Can you count on your fingertips the things that the Lord has done? Or there are too many? Too many for you to number, right? Too many for you to number, right? Hallelujah. He's a good God. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Just high five somebody around you. Tell them, I serve a living God. I serve a God of miracles. Woo! He's an incredible God. He's a God of the supernatural. He walks in unconventional ways. Amen. All right, let's take our 2026 confessions together. We're going to spend some time in the Word. I'm so thankful they've turned this over to me early. I hope you have your notes or devices or whatever you use in taking notes. I'm very excited about the Word of God today. Amen. Wasn't that a powerful message last Sunday here? Oh my goodness. God will do a new thing. Wow. That's another level, right? A totally different level. What an impactful word. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Muyiwa. And Pastor Ola in Akron as well. Amen. God bless you. I know you sent me your message. You sent it too late. Many of us, even our ministers and pastors, and I'm changing that, you know, in many ways. Our approach to the kingdom, not just here in Cleveland, it's everywhere. Our approach to the things of the ministry is usually, you know, the week is for our walk. Then when we get close to a service day on the weekend, then we start putting things together, right, you know. But we have to change that. You know, the kingdom of God is year-round, is week-round. That's why many of you ministers, you see, when I send you messages, I send you messages first thing on Monday morning. If many of you, before you have even woken up, I've sent you a message on Monday morning. Because the kingdom of God is not Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We need a paradigm shift. And we're going to achieve that paradigm shift. Amen. Most people who serve in the things of the kingdom, the things of the ministry, usually, you know, everybody, we're busy, you know, we have to deal with family, our work, and all of that. But you keep carry that kingdom with you Monday to Monday, Monday to Sunday to Monday. Amen. Because can you imagine Jesus doing ministry only on weekends? I mean, it was year-round. So I haven't read that because I got it on Friday. So I haven't, usually my Fridays to Sunday, I'm a little bit off emails and things. So, but I know you ministered a powerful message, and I'll see it afterwards. Glory to God. So let's thank God for our pastors again. Amen. All right, let's take our 2026 confession together. 2, 3, go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover. Pass over, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, destroy. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is the saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire, and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I'm laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. In this season, it's shifting and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump, and he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. He's shifting and there is a lifting up for me. God said he is giving me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. It's shifting and there is a lifting up for me, from bitter waters in Marah to pleasant streams in Elim. It's shifting and there is a lifting up for me, from forsaken to Hephzibah and from rejected to Beulah. is shifting and there is a lifting up for me. From beggar to ruler, from loner to owner, from supplanter to contender. In this season, is shifting and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible and I do the impossible. This is my season of opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. My Father, I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped. The curse is broken. And my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you. Cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you. Dreams, womb, ventures, investments, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, speak life. I speak life over God's people. I speak life over God's purposes. I speak life over God's investment he has given to us. I speak life over every life. I speak life over every vision. I speak life over every family, finances. I speak life over every situation, everything the people of God are grappling with. I speak life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift. And power is changing hands. The shift is here. And I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Woo! Come on, if you're experiencing God's incredible, just take it by faith. Say, glory to God. Say, glory to God. I am experiencing the incredible things of God. Hallelujah. Woohoo. Amen. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated in his presence. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's go together. I want to read a couple of scriptures to start out. In Luke chapter 5, and today I'm trusting God to help us close out one of the aspects that we have been discussing every time I have ministered here since the beginning of the year. This message that we have titled Incredible, Unconventional, and Supernatural. I know that I've given seven things that will help us enjoy the incredible, the supernatural of God. And one of them I have been ministering since the year started, which I have called Be Aggressive With Your Faith. And we have ministered that for a few weeks, and I want to wrap that up today. So the Lord is going to help me do that. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right, let's read these scriptures in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, I want you to... it will be on the screen for you there. We're going to read from verse 18 to 20, and then we're going to read verse 26. All of that in the Amplified version. Glory to God. All right, Luke chapter 5, let's read from verse 18 to 20. And then verse 26, all of them in the Amplified. Look at what it says here. And behold, some men were bringing on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. And they tried to carry him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him with his stretcher through the tiles into the mist in front of Jesus. Notice, the Lord didn't tell them to do that. They just determined that they were going to get that man before Jesus that day. And you're going to help me a lot today, Moriah. I thank God for you. I know you're ready. We're going a number of places. If you back up, just back up one verse to verse 19. Look at what it says there. But finding no way to bring him in. Before I keep on reading today, how many of you have ever experienced situations in life where you felt convinced, you really thought that God had something prepared for you, but when you arrived there where you thought you were going to take delivery of what God had for you, all the doors were shut? Is there anyone in here? Anyone under the sound of my voice today that may have experienced something like this? We have a benefit of hindsight in reading scriptures like this, because we know what happened afterwards. But I want you to understand, these four men and their friend did not have that benefit of a hindsight. They didn't know what was going to happen. It wasn't like God commanded them and said, if you just break the roof, you get there and there's no way, go up. No. They arrived there, they believed God had something for them. Obviously, they had heard a lot about Jesus. They knew they had faith. Obviously, they had faith. They had a lot of faith. And they carried that man. They carried that their friend. But unfortunately, when they got there, they tried. Now, let's make this a little bit dramatic. How about when they arrive, they saw a lot of cars in the parking lot. And they saw a crowd out there in the parking lot trying to get in. And here they were, with a paralyzed man. They didn't have any ticket for this event. There was no privilege. There was no promise that anyone would let them into this room. I mean, from when they arrived at the venue of that event, they would be immediately discouraged. Because if everywhere is full and they can't even get in, how are we even going to get our paralyzed friend to the meet? There's nowhere. There's no room. Well, let's make it a little dramatic. Maybe some of the people outside were sympathetic towards them. You know, they saw them carrying their paralyzed. They made room for them. Okay. They let them get to the door. But when they got to the door was locked. Because they say, no way. That's what it says. There was no way. There was no way. So the door was already locked. There was no access. There was no way for them to get into this event. And it wasn't just the main door. I guess they tried to look at the windows. Maybe we can do something with the windows. But the windows were locked too. And there were people sitting down on the window panes. And the thing was so jam-packed that there was no way they could get their friend before Jesus. Well, I guess some of them, let's make it a little dramatic. Maybe one of them thought, this is our one chance. We have two options. We can either go back home, or we can do something really dramatic. something absolutely unconventional to get us in front of Jesus. Because we know he has the power. There's no question, he has the power. And we are confident. We know he has the power. The only problem we have is how do we get in front of him so that we can tap into this power? So they said, we're going to do something unconventional. What was the unconventional thing they did? They went up, broke the roof. They got tools. They didn't come to this meeting with tools, but somebody went and found tools. I want you to think about this. And as you and I are talking about this, I want you to compare this to our modern day experience of Christianity, where if everything is not prepared and laid out and ready, we feel like it's tribulation. They went and found tools. You know what kind of tools you need to break roofs? You can't use your hands, my friend. I pray that the Holy Spirit will help you to continue to revelate that on your own. They found no way because of the crowd. They went up on the roof. They lowered him with his stretcher through the tiles in the mist in front of Jesus. Let's go to the next verse. I like this next verse. This is really a lot of my focus. This is where a lot of what I'm ministering on today springs from. And when he saw their confidence in him, springing from their faith. Now, look at that line. He saw their confidence in him springing from their faith. This is after they labored to get their friends before Jesus. You know, many times, by the time you go through all that labor to get into the presence of God, you are so weary, you are so tired, you are emotionally exhausted and drained, that when you plump in that seat, in that event, in that meeting, you are just like, Jesus, just do your thing. Like, I'm exhausted, I'm empty, but that's not the way these men were. The Bible says, Jesus, he saw their confidence springing from their faith. Having done all, they had done everything, and yet they were still full of confidence. Amen. And full of faith. You know how you know when faith is present? It's confidence. You want to know how, while you are driving your car, how to know if you are running low on gas? You don't have to go and open the gas tank and put a stick inside. There were some old cars we used to drive in our missionary days that we had to do that way back then, way, way, way back then. You had to put a stick in there, and then when you pull out the stick, you look at the level of the wetness. That's what oh my goodness. That thing is almost at the bottom of the stick. We're running out of gas. Let's find somewhere to buy gas. No, you don't have to do that. There is something the manufacturer put on your dashboard. If you just look at that thing, you can tell how much gas you have. Amen. You know how you can tell how much faith you have in God in every situation of life? Is the level of your confidence. By the time you get to a place where you are already crying, where you are drained, you are all over, you are on the floor, you are talking about nobody understands, nobody needs to ask you anything. We know you are zero faith. If you are zero faith. But when you are strong in faith. Look at that scripture again. When he saw their, God bless you. When he saw their confidence in him. Notice, confidence springs from faith. Faith is the origin of confidence. When you are confident in life, when you are confident in any situation of life you are dealing with, that confidence springs out of faith, the reservoir of faith that is in your spirit being. When there is a reservoir of faith in your spirit being, you are confident. That it actually becomes a mystery to the people who are observing you how you can be so confident. Because by this time, everybody is flat on their faces. Because they have done everything they know and nothing is working. But here you are, strolling in and still talking, God is going to do incredible things. Oh my God. There is no greater demonstration, no greater revelation of faith than that. When everybody is already falling on their faces and throwing up their arms in the air, and those who are crying are crying. Those who are, join us for Elo next Sunday. Let's talk a little bit more about nothing missing, nothing broken. That covenant promise, my goodness, let's dig into its reach. The Lord has given us, is giving us liberty. We stalled, kept stalling last year. Just get to a place stalling. He's giving us liberty to move a little bit forward. Join us next Sunday. When everybody's throwing up their arms in the air, we don't know what to do. How are we going to get through this? How are we? And you just stand and say, cheer, be of good cheer. Cheer up. Fear not. Cheer up, fear not. Cheer up, fear not. The Lord. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. You know, what I'm painting to you, what I'm talking to you about really did happen. It did happen. When all those spies came back to give Moses their report of the land that they had just spied, right? And all of them, the whole thing was like, crying. Everybody was crying. All these people crying. And said, oh, well, God, they are going to destroy us. And so, Caleb said, relax. The Lord is with us. These people will be bread for us. Hey, all of them were dealing with exactly the same thing. But in the midst of that, all of these people who were already falling on their grass, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. We saw the Midianites. We saw the Amalekites. We saw the Micanites. We saw the Cameroonites. We saw the Nigerianites. We saw the Syrianites. We saw the Ghanaians. We saw this. Oh boy. Caleb said, shush. Caleb said, shush. Oh God. Oh, God was so impressed with Caleb. Oh, God. Oh, I wish you saw him in heaven. I wish you saw what the Lord was doing in heaven. Oh. This is the scripture that tells, this is one of the ones that shows you. And you know that scripture in Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith delights the heart of God.
Yes.
When God sees faith, God is like, come on, let's go. It's not talk faith. We're not talking talk faith. Yes. We're talking the lifestyle of faith. Because anybody can talk faith. Especially when the going is good. When things are rosy, anybody can talk faith. Anybody can sing faith. Anybody can preach faith. This message I'm preaching to you now, I just need to be anointed to preach, and I'm very anointed this morning, so I'm preaching. But my preaching it to you, and however powerful you receive it, has nothing to do with that I am living it. Now, I have a responsibility to live it after I preach it to you. And I am. I'm living it. It's not theory. But all I'm saying is, you hearing me preach it, and preaching is so good, is not an indication of how I'm living it. Because I just need to be anointed, and I need to have studied, and to have received this revelation from the Holy Spirit to disperse it to you, God's people. That's my job this morning. But when Sunday is over and Monday morning comes and all the pressure comes, oh Lord, oh Lord, the same pressure valve of faith that you need in your life is the same pressure valve of faith that I need in my life. We all need the same pressure valve of faith. Like when that pressure mounts, when that tank seems full, it's going to burst, right? We need a valve. We need a valve to give us some release, to say everything is going to be all right. Yes. Hallelujah. And I dare say to you, I prophesy over you this morning, no matter what you are going through in your life, whether you are here in this room or you are wherever you are hearing this, wherever you hear it at any point in time, oh my goodness. No matter what you are going through, I tell you on the authority of the word of God, everything is going to be all right. He said, when he saw their confidence in him springing from their faith. And then, of course, go to verse 26. Then, incredible happened. Overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And they recognized and praised and thanked God. And they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear. And kept saying, we have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today. You will too. I said, you will too. Before this year is over, you will. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, you will. I said, you will in the name of Jesus. I'm believing for you. I'm believing for you that you will see incredible. That everybody will gather together that knows you and say, ha, 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 ha. You will experience the incredible of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, we have already established that faith is a lifestyle. Faith is not something we do once in a while. Right? Remember the policeman who came in during one of these services? Like, we talked about him. Faith isn't like the uniform of the police officer. He puts on that uniform when he's on duty. When he gets back home, he lives like every normal, average civilian. That's not faith. Faith is a lifestyle. How many of you remember the scripture we read on Palm Sunday? Let's put that up for me real quick. Mark 11 verse 22 in the Amplified. What did Jesus say to them? Have faith in God constantly. Come on, let's say those words. Have faith in God constantly. Say one more time. Have faith in God constantly. Faith is a lifestyle. Remember we said Abraham was not just called a father of faith just when he was believing for his miracle son, Isaac. He was called a father of faith even way beyond when Isaac became an adult person. Abraham remained a father of faith. Why? Because he lived the lifestyle of faith. He didn't just have faith when he was believing for a child, a miracle son. He continued to have faith long after his son was born. He lived the lifestyle of faith. Hallelujah. Let's look at a couple of scriptures here that are very, very powerful. Look at that scripture in Romans chapter 4, verse 18 to 21. Let's stay in the Amplified version. This is where you see where when they were looking, when they were aggressively believing God for the miracle of their son. These were some of the things that they had to contend with. Look at this scripture. It says, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, he hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. Verse 19. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body. Let me explain this to you. Or the impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Let me explain this to you. Abraham was dealing with real life, real time situations, and he was dealing with things he could readily observe, things he could readily see. And those things were indicative of the promises God gave them. God said, I will give you a son in your old age. But The contradiction to that promise, that covenant promise, was when he looked at his body and what needed to be happening in his body. If that miracle that God promised them would happen, what needed to be happening in his body was not happening. So this was a contradiction to the promise. And then he looked at his wife's body. He said, okay, if God is going to do miracle, maybe it's not my body, because this is my body, her. Maybe it's Sarah. Maybe God just needs one of us. Maybe Sarah is the open door. But then he looked closely at what was happening in Sarah's body. Ah, I said, that's even worse. He said, see, now I want you to see this though. But in spite of those things that he saw, the Bible says he considered it not. He did not focus on it. So he did not look at it too long. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. For you and me, for us to line up with the promises of God for our lives, for us to put ourselves in position for those promises to be established, to come to pass, we walk by faith, not by sight. What is that scripture? 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Put that up in the King James, please. This scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, is sandwich. How many of you know what sandwich is? Sandwich is like you put meat or fish or chicken in the middle of two buns. Isn't that sandwich? All those things together make what we call sandwich. The meat by itself is good, but it's not good enough. Without the buns, is that meat is not sandwich by itself. What we call sandwich is the meat in the middle and the bun on one side and the bun on the other side. What is the sandwich of faith? The sandwich of faith is confidence in God. Confidence on one side, confidence on the other side, and the spirit of faith in the middle of it. So in this scripture, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, you see the two bonds on the two sides of this scripture. Look at it. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, what is the first bond? The first bond is verse 6. Let's look at verse 6. What does verse 6 say? 2 Corinthians verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident. That's one bond. Then there is a second bond. What is a complete sandwich? This is the meat or the chicken or the fish in the middle. There is a bone on one side. There's another bone on the other side. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. The spirit of faith is we walk by faith, not by sight. So we are not moved by what we see. We are never moved by what we hear. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I hear believers saying, God, what I see, it doesn't look like it. You have already nullified your faith. It doesn't look like it, but I'm trusting you that you can. When is it? Why are you talking about what it looks like? Do you see it? I don't see it. What do I see? There's eyes of faith. When you have eyes of faith, you don't see what it looks like. And you don't talk about, some people think it makes their prayer more substantial before God. Lord, but you know, even though you promised me this, I'm not really seeing, my bank account is still empty, my body is still sick, and that promotion is not happening. God already knows that. Why are you giving life? When we say you should speak life, when God told Ezekiel to speak life, did he tell him, tell me how many dead bones there are in the valley? Is it what God told him? Didn't God already know how many dead bones there are in the valley? Does God need you to tell him how many dead bones there are in the valley? You think God is blind? How many times did Abraham come and say to God, God, you know, even though you promised this, but what I'm seeing, it looks like my servant, Eliezer, that he might be the one who inherit. Even though, God, you promised me this promised child, but we are not really seeing that. But I know I see my servant, and he has many promised children. And maybe, and God said, shut up. God said, come out. What the Lord is having me talk to many of you about today are the nuts and bolts of faith that either paralyze your faith or make your faith work. God said to Abraham, come out, let's look. And God said, count. He took his eyes from Eliezer. I said, count. And God said, that's how your children will be. That's how your children will be. He's here talking about Eliezer. What does Eliezer have to do with Isaac? Why? Because Eliezer is who he's seen every day. That's the person serving him. That's the person paying for, that's the person bringing food. That's the person he sends on errands. This person he's interacting with every day. So that Eliezer became the center of his focus. To the point that when he's talking to God, he's not even talking about Isaac. He's talking about Eliezer. Is that many believers are? God, even though you promise, even though you said, and I believe your promise, in Jesus' name I believe, but Lord, I'm not seeing what I can see, but I'm trusting you. Just know I'm trusting you. God already knows you don't trust him. God already knows you have no confidence in him. You are just talking for the sake of talking. He already knows you don't have confidence. The person who has confidence does not talk like that. The person who has confidence does not talk like that. That's why one of the ways you level up, you grow up in your faith, go step up in your faith, you have to look at those ahead of you. Listen to how they talk. Listen to how they pray. Listen to how, watch how they live. Not just on the pulpit, but watch their lifestyle. Look at how they draw the line, how they've learned by discipline to draw the line between our everyday life and what we are doing and our spiritual life and our connection with God in our covenant. Listen to how they draw the line. Listen to how they don't blur the lines. This is how we're just joking. Look at you, you and your old ugly self. You will never hear them say that. They say, we're just playing. We're just playing. You will never hear them play like that. You and your broke self. Look at you. You say God is going to give you a new house. Look at you, broke. You can't even pay your bill. You can't even pay your light bill. Look at you. And you will never hear them say things like that, ever. They can joke on other things. But when they get to that line, they draw the line very, very, very clear. Because your confidence in God is affected by the liberties you give yourself. Your relationships will affect the confidence you have in God. If you are flocking with people who don't have confidence in God, your confidence will eventually plummet. Your own confidence will eventually plummet. No matter where you start from, you will eventually find yourself one day beginning to sound like those people that you flock with. Let's go back here so we don't lose our train of thought. So a sandwich, faith is in the middle of that sandwich, but the two bonds on the two sides. So what we saw, the first bond, go back there to that 2 Corinthians 5:6. What's that first bond? Confidence. Therefore, we are always confident. Now, let's look at the second bond in verse 8. What is the second bond? We are confident. So 2 Corinthians 5:7 is in the middle. We walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, glory to God. Wow. So 2 Corinthians 5, 7 is in the middle, right? The spirit of faith, stubborn faith. Stubborn faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. On one side of it, he says we are confident. On the other side of it, he says we are confident. That's the faith package. Your confidence in God is what shows how much faith you have in him or otherwise. We are confident. We are confident. Do you know something I discovered? No matter what God promises you, no matter what Jesus already died to give you, if you lack confidence in God, you will never partake of it. It's very serious. No matter, Jesus is our high priest. He died, he's both the lamb, the spotless lamb, as well as the high priest. He's the one who took everything that belonged to God and brought it to us. That's the mystery of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is the mystery of it. Because in the book of Hebrews, he told everything Jesus is. The superiority of Jesus. From the very beginning, he established it. The superiority of Jesus over the angels. The superiority of Jesus over humans. The superiority of Jesus over everything. Jesus is the embodiment. Is the embodiment of everything that God promised man from the beginning. But he now took it, after he established that in the early beginning of that book, he now took it to the next step and started telling us. Jesus is not just the embodiment of everything that God promises and everything that God wants to give to us. Jesus is the equalizer. He's the one who makes you attain unto everything that God wanted to give to you at the beginning. He's your high priest. He's the one who makes you everything you were created to be. Jesus is. But do you know that without confidence in him, you can't partake? Put that scripture up for me. Let's do this one in the King James. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14. Look at this. You cannot partake. Look at it. For we are made partakers of Christ. If, so that means there's a condition. For we are made partakers of Christ if what? If we hold the beginning, watch this, the beginning of our confidence steadfast. If we are partakers of Christ, if. It's a condition right there. People say, I don't know why. You know, I try my best. But if, look at it, we are partakers of Christ. We are partakers of Christ. His authority, his revelation, his spirit, his blessing, his healing. We are partakers of Christ. If. Why? Because your confidence is the revelation of your faith in God. Yes. Amen. Right? This partaker of Christ, holding your confidence, look at that scripture right there in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, let's start from verse 35. Let's go, Hebrews 10, 35. Watch this now. I know I've got to close my thing. It's coming up soon, but don't worry. We'll get everything God has for us, and then we'll close out today. We'll close out. And then you revelate it further. You got to revelate it further. Just go and build this. Look at it, verse 35. What does it say? Cast not away, therefore, what? Your confidence. That has what? A great recompense. That means your reward is tied to your confidence. Answer to prayer is tied to your confidence. You don't know there's a scripture that says that. Put that off. Now, let's finish reading this. Let's then look at that real quick, and I'm going to bring this to a close. Look at this. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence that has a great recompense of reward. Go to the next verse. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Go to the next verse. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will know what? Will not tarry. Will not tarry. Glory to God. Go on to the next verse. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If you give up your confidence in God, you lose his vote. You don't have God's vote if you don't have your confidence in him. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. Go on to the last verse there. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them who do what? Who believe, who have faith, who believe to the saving of the soul. Someone say, I believe God. Say, I believe. Say, I live the lifestyle of faith. Say, I'm a true believer. I'm a real believer. I'm a real, real, real believer. I'm a real, real believer. I'm a real, real believer. You know, prayer is not answered without confidence. You know that. First, I'm going to come back to this scripture. I want to wrap up from here. But look at that scripture in 1 John 5, verse 4. Let's read that together. 1 John in the King James. Actually, you can put that in the Amplified. 1 John 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is this 1 John 5, verse 4? And this is the victory that overcomes the world. What? Even our faith. Now, I want us to go further down in 1 John, where it says this is the confidence that we have in him. Is that 14? What verse is that? Confidence that we have in him, that we have if we ask anything according to his will. What is that 14? Thank you. This is the confidence. Watch this now. The assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure. Someone say we are sure.
We are sure.
We are sure that if we ask anything, we make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to us and hears us. Let's read this. Let's read this in the King James. It cuts off a lot of those extra words. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what happens? He hears us. And look at the next verse, verse 15. And if he hears us, if we know that he hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. Go back to Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away your confidence in God. Right?
Yes.
Because that is what guarantees your reward. That's what guarantees your reward. Let's bring this to a close today. In this scripture, go to the next verse. God bless you. The verse where he says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean? Now, verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith. What does that mean? In different parts of the body of Christ, sometimes people have put connotations on different movements and different parts of the body. You hear believers say, this particular group of people, they are word of faith people. They are everything they talk is faith. And then there are these other people. Yeah, we're almost done. Thank you. Then there are this other group of people, everything they talk is holiness. There's this other group of people, everything they talk is money, financial prosperity. But what is God saying about this stuff? This scripture, God repeats it. The Lord puts this scripture in the Bible 4 different times. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. 4. That tells me this is very serious. This is not like the epistles where you see something in Mark, Matthew, Luke. No, it's not epistles. This is across different parts of the Bible. This is very serious. The just shall live by faith. He didn't say if you are in the movement of the faith churches, you will live by faith. It's not what he said. This is how some believers think. They think the faith message is for some group of Christians who are in the faith churches. How pathetic. God says the just shall live by faith. His faith is a lifelong lifestyle. It's what God is saying. Faith is a lifelong lifestyle. Read these words with me. The just now. The just shall live by faith. Now. The just shall live by faith. Now. The just shall live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle. Confidence in God every day is a lifestyle. I'm confident. I'm confident. I'm confident. I'm sure. I have conviction. I have assurance. I trust God. I'm confident. I'm confident. It's a lifestyle. Every day, I'm confident. Sickness knocks on your door. I'm confident. Financial needs show up. I'm confident. Tribulation and the desperation of life, and then I'm confident. I'm confident. I'm confident. It's a lifestyle. And even when everything seems perfect, you have no need, you are not desperate, you don't have any, you are not praying for any miracle, I'm still confident. I'm still confident in God. The just shall live by faith. Four different places. Hebrews 10:38. Let's go. Let's read through those and close. Habakkuk 2:4. Look at that. Habakkuk 2:4. Look at it. We may actually start from verse 2. Start from verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets that he that runs may run with it. The vision God gave you of a good life, a good future, a better life, a better future, a prosperous life. That vision, you say, right, this vision is sure. It's for an appointed time. Go to the next verse, verse 3. Yeah, for the vision here. For the vision is here for an appointed time. But at the end, what would happen? It will speak. Even if it's not speaking right now, it will surely speak. Right? So, don't lose your confidence. Don't start doubting and start wondering and start, I don't know. But I don't know about you. One of the covenants God and I made together, I told him, Lord, if I made a mistake 40 years ago in accepting your word 40 years ago, I'm ready to live for the rest of my life with that mistake. This is it. If it was a mistake believing you 40 years ago, I'm ready to keep on believing you until I see you in heaven. There's no turning back. There's no. See, he said, for the soul that draws back, he said, he that draws, my soul will have no pleasure in him. There's no plan B. It's too late. People say, well, pastor, don't you want to try an alternative? Like, you know, they say faith works, but sometimes, you know, sometimes believing God, sometimes you may die believing God. Okay. That's not the first one. Many people have done it. If you read Hebrews 11, that's why he put Hebrews 11 there. There are some people actually died believing God. But they stayed pleasing to God. They stayed pleasing to God. And in fact, even many of them, the Bible tells us, many of them who believed, they didn't see the fulfillment of the promise. That's because God was preparing the fulfillment for some of us coming behind them. You see what he said now? So even you're passing away from this earth, It's not an indication that God didn't fulfill his word. The three Hebrew boys said, our God whom we serve is able to save us. But let's just let you know, King, even if he does not show up, you throw us in the midst of that fire. This is it. We are done. Here we are. Right? We are not quitting on our believing of this God. There's no going back. There's no alternative for us. We are confident in our God. We believe that our God is faithful. Like Paul said, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Period. 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 Therefore, this vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak. It has to speak. It has to. There's no way it will not. It has to speak. Any word. And watch this. Every year, this is why this prophetic utterances that God gives us every year are so important and so powerful. I don't care how you struggle through the year from January, February, whatever. You have that vision for that year has to speak. This year, you have to have incredible in your life. He has to speak. You have to have incredible in your life. You will experience incredible in your life. Somebody shout, yes. At the end, he shall speak and he shall not lie. Watch this. And even if he tarry, even if he delays, you go May, June, July. Oh God, I haven't seen incredible law. Wait for it. Keep your faith active. Be confident in God. Every day when you get up, don't say, God, I haven't seen it all. I haven't seen it. All I'm seeing is the contrary report. All I'm seeing is negative. In fact, the more I'm believing, the worse is getting. Don't say that. Say, God, I'm confident in your word. I'm confident in your word. Remember what David said in Psalm 27, right? The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Right? When the enemies came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3, even though a host rise up against me, watch, in this will I be confident. In this will I be confident. In spite of the contrary that I see. Go back to Habakkuk. So, but at the end, he shall speak. He will not lie. He has to speak. It has to come to pass. God is not a man. Numbers 29:11. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of a man that he should repent. Has he spoken it? Will he not bring it to pass? Has he said he will not establish it? He's not a man. God is faithful. I said, God is faithful. Come on, somebody say, I'm confident in God. Say, I'm confident in God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. That's the pact we have. He and I, we have a secret covenant. And every year, he delivers. Every year. He's just taking it higher and higher. Every year, there are times we think, oh, we've seen so much. It's so big. Oh, it's so big. And then you go through this dark period where it's like, thank you, Jesus. I'm confident. Hallelujah. I'm confident. Yes, I'm confident. Stop. That's the last one. Lord, I'm confident. Lord, I'm confident. And this is like Jairus. Remember Jairus? When he said, I'm confident. He started, I'm confident. I'm going to, Jesus, come, my daughter, come. And then while they were going, the woman with the issue of blood came. And took Jesus and, took his time. Long story. By the time they finished, the woman get her miracle. People came from Jairus. Jairus, it's too late. Your daughter already died. You should have stopped that woman from coming to Jesus. You should have, this 10 minutes that Jesus delayed, your daughter is dead. Jesus turned to Jairus. He said, don't be afraid. Keep on believing. What is that scripture? Somebody find that for me. Somewhere in the Amplified is Mark something. Mark 5. Find that scripture for me in the Amplified. They told him, they said, and I think in one of the other gospels, maybe the one in Luke, he said, overhearing them but ignoring what they said. Huh? What's it? Mark 5:36. Thank you. Put that up in the Amplified real quick. We're going to close out here. And this is the Just Shall Live by Faith. We're out of time. Look at it. Overhearing, but ignoring what they said. Jesus said to the ruler of the city, don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only what? Only what? Only what? Even when they told him, your daughter is already dead, he said, only what? Jesus said, it's too late. It's over. Forget it. What did he say? Only. And he will not lie. Go back right there. Let's close out here. He will not lie. The vision will not lie. It will speak. At the end, it will speak. The reward that God promised you will come through. It's not a man that he should lie to you. Everything that God ordained concerning your life will be established. God is faithful. He's too faithful. He's too faithful to not be where he said he would be. He's too faithful. He has put too much. He has put too. There's too much investment. Too much investment in this plan that he has for your life for him to not fulfill his word. For him to go back. Habakkuk 2. Let's close out there. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Even though it tarried, just wait for it. Wait for it and be confident. Even when it looks like the vision, what he told you is not happening, don't worry. He says, don't worry. He will not lie. He said, it will speak. He said, it will surely come. It will surely come. I love it. He said, it will surely come. It will surely come. It will surely come. And then in verse 4, the just shall live by his faith. Not somebody else's faith. His own faith. Behold, the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. His own faith. You can't live by your pastor's faith. You can't live by your wife's faith. You can't live by your parents' faith. You live by your faith. It's by your own faith. The reward will come by your own faith. That's it. That's it. Let's close our stand to your feet. Of course, you don't need to go there, but it's there. You can check it out yourself. Hebrews 10:38, Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11. It's all there. The same scripture. Actually, as we stand up and get ready to put all the four of them up right here. So this is Habakkuk 2:4, right? Go to Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Go to Galatians 3:11. Galatians 3:11. For that, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And finally, Hebrews 10:38. Let's read it one more time, one last time. 38. Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. My friends, we have been called to live a lifestyle of faith every day, believing God, being confident in God, being confident in God. That faith is a spirit. A stubborn faith. Hallelujah. A stubborn faith that is not moved by what is seen or what is experienced, but only by the word of God. Like that prophet said in Isaiah 50 verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, shall I not be confounded? Therefore, have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. Lord God will help me. That's stubborn faith. That's stubborn faith. That we are going to go forward. We will not be stuck. We will not be stranded. We will not go back. We are going forward. That's stubborn faith. That's stubborn faith. There's no quitting for us. There's no quitting. We're not going back. There's no back to go back to. The only thing behind us is the Red Sea and Egypt. There is no going back. There's no going back. We're going all the way to the promised land. And let me just make an announcement real quick to you. Whatever it takes, we are going to the promised land. Amen. I don't care what it takes. You know what that woman, Jochebed, you know what that woman did? When all the women, all the mothers were killing their children, when Pharaoh said, threatened everybody, kill your sons, kill your children, kill them. You know what that woman said? I will not kill this one. What did she do? She created a bassinet. They kept him at home for a while. After when he was too big, they created a bassinet. Put him in that bassinet, put that bassinet out there on the lake and told his older sister, Miriam, just stand right there. If anybody shows up, just show up and introduce our family. You know what that is? That's stubborn faith. That's no matter what it takes. Put that child in that bassinet. Put it on the lake. Miriam, stand there. We are not killing this child. Put him on the bassinet. Put him on the lake. Stand right there. That is, no matter what we need to do, I'm just making an announcement to you. No matter what. No matter what. The word of God will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. It is impossible for it not to be fulfilled. We are going to keep pushing forward. We're going to keep moving forward. Somebody help me tell the devil this week. He's too late. There's no going back. Somebody help me announce it wherever you go this week. Tell them about your future. I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed to go back. I'm too blessed to quit on God. I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed. Lift up your hands to heaven. I want you to have a moment with God. I want you to have a moment of covenant, intimate covenant with God. From deep down in your spirit, God, you are too faithful to fail. You are too faithful to fail. You are all that I have. I am committed to you. I am committed to you. I hold on firm to your word. I hold on firm. Come on. I want you to have an intimate moment. This is you and God. You and God. Come on. This is a powerful moment. I want you to have it. Have it in this service before we close out. This is a powerful moment. You and God. From the bottom of your heart, I want you to make a covenant with him. There's no distance in the spirit. You may not be with us here in this small room, but you may be somewhere far away, thousands of miles away, in another land, in another country. It does not matter. I want you to have a moment of covenant with God. Tell him this moment. A moment of intimate covenant with God. God, me and you. Me and you. There is no going back. You are my all. You are my one. You are my last. You are my all. You are my one. You are my last. There is no going back. It's you. I'm confident. I'm confident. I will not cast away that confidence. I'm confident in you, God. I'm confident in you, God. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they did. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter what the economy is. It doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what the job does. It's me and you, God. Our covenant will last forever. Come on, I'm about to close. Are you having that moment of intimate covenant with God? This is not with you and your spouse. This is not with you and your children, you and your parents. The just shall live by his confidence, by her own resolve and conviction, by her own assurance, by his own trust, by his own resolution. Confident. I'm confident. We're going to extend this intimate moment by just a moment. The Holy Spirit is telling me to extend it by just a moment. Come on. Come on. Declare it before the Lord. Lord, I believe every word you spoke. There is no going back for me. I'm committed to you. I know you committed to me, but I want you to know I'm committed to you. I'm committed to going all the way. We are taking your word all the way. We are taking your promises all the way. You are too faithful to fail. The word you gave me, the word you spoke to me, it has to come to pass. You are too faithful. You are too faithful. You are too faithful to fail. You are too faithful to fail. You are too faithful to fail. I'm too sure in you. I'm too sure. There's a blessed assurance inside of my heart. There's a blessed assurance. There's a blessed assurance. There's a confidence. There's a confidence. That is why I'm telling you to tell God that. Me, I've already told him. I'm telling you to tell him that. I have a blessed assurance in you. Heaven and earth can pass away, but I am confident not a jot of your word will fail. Not one, not one. Not one. Every man can be a liar, but God, you will be true to your word. You will be true to your word. I'm confident in you. I'm confident in you. There's no double for me. Oh. There's no double, no doubting, no doubting. My name is not Thomas. There is no double for me. I'm confident in you. You are too faithful to fail. You are too great to lie. You are too mighty to go under. I'm confident in you. I want to pray for somebody just as I close today. It may be somebody here, maybe somebody in a distant place who may be hearing this in real time or who may be hearing this at another time. But I just saw the picture of this person early hours of this morning. Struggled to get to where you are. Press your way to arrive where you are today. Done everything you know. But right now, you feel so stuck. And it feels like there's no way. Like those four men who were carrying the paralytic. Seems there's no way out and there's no way forward. The Lord put together this service for you, but he also wanted me to pray over you. There's an anointing and a grace for God's mercy in this service. That throne of grace is very close by. Help, 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 help. Wherever you are, I speak upon you grace today. I invoke the power of the mercy of God over your life. You will not quit. You will not go under. In the name of Jesus, you will not go back. You are not going back. There's no going back for you. You are not going back. You will be strong. You will be strong. Remember what his word said to us in 2026? He said he gives power to the weak and to them that have no strength. What does he do? He increases might. That is you. That is you. That word was sent with you in mind. It was packaged with you in mind. No matter how weak you feel, you are not leaning on yourself. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. Those arms are carrying you. They are available for you this morning. They are available for you all through this week. They are available for you throughout this season. You will not be ashamed. You are not going under. You are not going down. You are not going back. You are going over. The word of God will be established in your life. I speak over you. I speak over you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are infirmities, sicknesses of the body. Weaknesses draining away your strength. Draining away your vigor every day. You don't even know if you are going to last. Is somebody like that under the sound of my voice? You may be out of this room. You may be somewhere else in the world, far away. It doesn't matter. The Lord asked me to impart strength upon you today, to invoke the power of the mercy of God over your life. It doesn't even matter that whatever you are dealing with right now, you sometimes feel like you cursed because of the errors in your life. That does not matter. Your high priest, he sent me to invoke the mercy of God over your life today. To you, all you need to do is receive that mercy. That's all you need to do. Just receive it. Say, Lord, here I am. I'll take it. Here I am. Just as I am, I've come before you. I'll take that mercy. I'll take that grace. Just take that grace. Just take that mercy right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you for rewriting that story. I thank you for opening a new chapter in that life. I thank you. I thank you. You are such a good Father. We honor you today. We honor you. We bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Come on, go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.